Pittsburgh, I love you. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Bergvivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Cipollo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubcipollo.com. Accelerando Music Conservatory, providing students young and old the opportunity to sharpen their talents in music, theater, and dance. Stop by the conservatory in Cannonsburg or at accelerandopittsburgh.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, bringing laughs nearly every night of the week, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more, 811 Liberty Avenue downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Tonight's guest, Nancy Mosser. It is a pleasure to be chatting with you here in the Mosser Casting Studios.
Yes, it's great. It's great for you to come and see us.
Well, thank you. Now, it looks a little tame right now, but many an actor have sweated and fretted right here on this spot. So we are at the epicenter of the action. This is fantastic. Now, as always, we open with a little icebreaker, a local headline from one of Pittsburgh's many fine news publications, usually a little out of the ordinary. The headline I have for you is the National Mustache Institute announces a move to Pittsburgh. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it's wonderful.
Will this have an effect on the film industry in Pittsburgh at all, do you think?
Oh, I hope not. I hope everyone doesn't come in with handlebar mustaches to audition for
That'd be
role.
Tough. That'd be tough. Now, is that sort of a unspoken rule to not do that, to come in, you know, for an audition with outrageous facial hair unless the audition called for it?
Right. Well, some people are in shows at night and they're auditioning for commercials for us or films, and so, you know, if they need to have a role for, you know, have their mustache for a role, then it's important for them. So we will ask them if they can shave. And then they'll always say, yes, we can.
Of course they can. To work for you, they'll shave.
Right.
They'll shave
or anything. Or they'll say, on Friday, I can't, you know. And if we're shooting the next week, it's okay. But yeah, there was a guy that had a pretty amazing handlebar mustache for a long time, and it really sort of worked against him because people have trouble sometimes visualizing what people will look like.
I would think that it might typecast you.
Yes.
You know, a lot.
Definitely.
In a lot of Westerns, perhaps.
Right, exactly.
And I don't know if we shoot many Westerns in Pittsburgh anymore.
But I don't think any.
It
actually
could come back around. You never know. But I've looked into this organization, and they have national competitions, and the care that goes into this, the styles, it's really incredible.
I can imagine. Sort of like the guys on Groundhog Day. Did you ever see them?
No, but
you know, the groundhog guys that hold the groundhog.
Oh, do they have
that
style?
This one guy
like
has amazing one. Yeah, they're amazing mustaches. I think it's sort of part of the deal.
It does signal character. It certainly does. And you know, I now look at all these things that are coming to Pittsburgh because, you know, we had the designer Marlene Smith Pendleton on Bergvivant a couple of weeks ago, and the article I posed to her was about the furries that are here in Pittsburgh. So there's got to be something about this city that's attracting these, what some would say, maybe offbeat organizations and clubs to find a home here. Pittsburgh's always been a melting pot. And it still is. We've got the furries, we've got mustache conventions. I think it's fantastic.
I do too.
I absolutely
do. And Batman.
Oh yes, and we're going to talk about that, absolutely. We've had Batman here, yeah. So we've had a little bit of everything.
I think Pittsburgh's really welcoming in general,
yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
And it's a small enough city that it's very manageable, and so people aren't intimidated by it.
It's a big little city, or a little big city, however
exactly.
You want to look at it. I've always felt that way, you
exactly.
know? I mean, that's why we have so much fun at Bergvivant, because there's just so much to see here. And a great segue, you know, into what you do is that, you know, I really feel that Pittsburgh has talent. I mean, that may sound trite or contrived, but I mean, it's very true.
There's
a heck of a lot going on here.
There is, and I don't think that people realize how many really good actors, musicians, and artists are in Pittsburgh. And so it's really nice that we can sort of help spread the word about that. Directors, when they come to town, often are very surprised. They think they're gonna have to bring in actors from other places. And we have a lot of wonderful talent here.
So Pittsburgh has become a big movie city. I mean, this is news.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it kind of seems like this sort of just grew up around you. So I think it's a good time to be a casting director in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But yeah, how does that happen? How does a film find Pittsburgh? Does Spielberg kind of go eeny, meeny, miny, Pittsburgh? Or, you know, how does that happen?
Well, you know, sort of back in the day when I started in 1990, when I started doing casting, they would come here because they liked the topography and, you know, it sort of could represent other cities or places. It was a smaller place to shoot. And but we had really good crews here because George Romero started, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day for his films. But now, all those things are true, and it's easy to shoot here, and we have non-union extras and things like that. But the film tax credit is the most important thing. You know, all the films used to go to Canada, I remember, in the 80s when everything shot there, TV shows and movies would shoot in Canada. That's because they would give production companies grants of millions of dollars. And so the United States finally caught on and started giving tax credits to film production companies that shoot in your state. So Pennsylvania has a good tax credit program now.
Okay. Now, and I had been hearing a lot about this in the news. Yeah. I know it's sort of a hot topic. What was that, because that credit was going to go away? What's the situation now?
Well, in Pennsylvania, our tax credit has to be voted in every year. So the end of June, when they do the Pennsylvania state budget, mm-hmm. it has to be re-voted in. So that's what all the talk was about. Our tax credit money, we were so busy last year, so many movies wanted to shoot here, that the tax film money ran out. There's $60 million
wow.
available, and it ran out in January.
So but that's a good sign, right?
It's a good thing, and it's a bad thing.
Okay.
The good thing is that we have the tax credit, and movies want to shoot here. However, it wasn't spread out over the whole year. They used up the money so quickly, and because of that, they had to bring in more crews, mm-hmm. so we didn't get the benefit. If it were spread out, everybody, you know, two or three crew bases would be working. That would be better than having so many at once, like in one time of the year. So so hopefully it'll be more spread out.
We'd love more credit,
year.
I guess. Because it's,
right.
And of course, there's two schools of thought about everything. But I would guess that when a big picture comes to town, it's good for business. I mean, yeah, we're complaining because roads are shut down and the you know, the bat planes flying over, you know, the Squirrel Hill tunnels. But all in all, I mean, right. Is that your feeling? Does it bring a lot? Does it stimulate
it
the economy here?
It brings literally millions of dollars in. And the tax credit you get money back if you spend it. So we're not like putting out money that we don't have on the tax credit. So that's why we're trying to get it uncapped or raised,
right.
So more films can come here. But people don't realize, I don't think, that, you know, the production company pays location fees when they, you know, rent somebody's house. They pay them money, and then they pay for hotels, and they pay per diem to all the people. So they spend money in restaurants and movie theaters. They buy lumber and paint and, mm-hmm. you know, catering, food and, you know, things that people don't even realize. Water, bottled water, you know, things like that.
Yep.
And so it literally is millions of dollars into the Pennsylvania economy.
So when a movie decides to come to Pittsburgh, more specific to your business, where and how does the casting agency become involved?
We usually get called pretty early on. First people contact are usually the film office, Pittsburgh Film Office, then the locations people, and then the casting people, because we need to start early, about
right.
8 weeks before production starts. And we usually either hire it outright, or we have an interview with the director and the producers, and they decide if, you know, we're right for their film. And then we sort of meet with the producers and the directors, decide what roles will be cast here. They're usually the smaller parts mm. are cast here. The big stars are cast in LA and New York. But then that's when we start bringing in actors and auditioning them.
And is it usually the director themselves that come to you for this preliminary meeting?
Yes.
So you know what I got to ask. Who are some of them? Who are some of them that have been like the big names that have?
Well,
just...
I remember working with Curtis, interviewing with Curtis Hanson on Wonder Boys. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty famous director, and then of course Christopher Nolan for The Dark Knight Rises, and. Who's the guy that did Love and Other Drugs, Katie? I forget his name. He did 30-something.
Oh, Edward Zwick.
Edward Zwick. He was a director for 30-something. Fisher Stevens was supposed to direct a film here called American Pastoral, but we're still waiting for that to come in. He was a child actor, and he's now directing. Blair Underwood directed a nice little film we did, and he was a doll. And he's also a wonderful actor. So we've gotten to, you know, work with quite a few. Most directors aren't really that famous that come in, but, you know, they're really great.
But
to
the
work
films
with too.
turn out that way because Pittsburgh's a great place to
Absolutely.
Film. So then the call goes out for the actors that you need. So from a casting director's eye, what do you look for?
In
somebody that's coming into an audition.
Oh, well, we're looking for people that have lots of training and experience in theater. I look for theater people first and foremost because that's a basis of all acting, I think so. Somebody that's really confident. You know, people come in and they're like, oh, I don't think I'm good for this. I don't think I'm going to get this. I don't think that was very good. You're like, oh, okay.
You might get those that are on the other end of the spectrum too, that are very confident, you know?
Right. Then there's, yeah. And that's fine. You like people that are going to be confident because you're depending on them to make you look good.
If you're going
to be in front of hundreds of crew people, you have to have confidence in order to get through a scene with, you know, really famous actors, and that's what people have to do. So that's what we're looking for in talent, you know, they're talented.
Now, it isn't just film. Do you also do commercials, television?
Yes, we do anything that requires actors, extras, or background artists, we call them, or real people, real people, where, you know, we are assigned to find people that really work in a steel mill or really work in a hospital or really, you know, are in different situations.
So anybody can be in film or television.
Yeah.
So if I were out there and I'll give you this scenario. If I said my little girl is just, she's a budding star, she could be the next Gerber baby or the next Little Debbie or something.
Right.
How would I get her into the business? How would I get her in front of a camera?
Well, you know, for kids, I just look for kids that are smart, sort of beyond their years. You know, those little kids that talk like they're 40 years old and they're like,
oh, yeah, they're out there.
Because those are the kind you need.
They're on a film set, so they've got to have some decorum and, you know, sense of responsibility there, so that would make it.
They have to, you know, really get it. So with kids, I just sort of, you know, bring in kids of the right age for the role and see what they can do. Just sort of talk to them and figure it out.
So what would the first step for them to be, submit a photo via the Mosser casting website?
Yes, what's really nice now is people can just sign up at their computers at home.
It's
that
easy.
They don't have to come in and they don't have to get fancy photos for kids, just a snapshot without hats or masks or, you know, sunglasses. Yeah. Just a smiling family picture or two. They fill out a profile on our website at mossercasting.com. And when we search for, say we're looking for an 8-year-old boy in the area, we search and all the pictures will come up and we can contact them that way.
Right, so but they've really got to be on that site in order to be considered. And it's not hard to do, so that's great to know.
And even if you can't figure that out, if you call us or you can mail everything in and we'll do it for you because, you know, some people aren't as computer savvy.
But. Well, I think there's this stigma too that, you know, it's impossible. You've got to know somebody, which helps, but I mean, but really for the most part, you submit what you have on your resume, your photo, and go from there. When they're looking for somebody that's 6 feet tall, dark hair, wears a tuxedo, you might give me a call.
That's right.
So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's how it works.
But last year, gosh, was it 2 years ago now, of course, Pittsburgh was absolutely dazzled by the arrival of one of the most famous superheroes in the world. This is, of course, Batman.
Yes.
How did this start? Just like anything else, Nolan called you up and said, hey, we're coming by next week. By the way, Batman's going to be with us. You got some room?
Well, you know what happened? I remember seeing in the Post-Gazette a photograph that someone took of Christopher Nolan on the street with snow coming down around him with all these people, these guys gathered around him with clipboards and pictures. And they said, is that Christopher Nolan? Someone spied him on the street.
In Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh. And they put it up online, and sure enough, he was here scouting, and he really liked Pittsburgh, and he thought it'd be great for the, especially the in the final scene in the movie where the Batmobile is chasing everybody.
Now, no spoilers here. If there's people who haven't seen it, go ahead and say it, whatever you want. I don't care.
Like the shots of Saks Fifth Avenue and Wiener World and the two Andes and that whole thing. So it was true. It was him. And sure enough, one day I got a call. I never forget it. I was in North Park with my dog. My kid, and someone said, we are bringing a film in called Magnus Rex, and we would like your resume. Could you email it to us right away? I said, okay, sure, Magnus Rex. And we have been hearing rumors, right, mm-hmm. about Batman. Mm-hmm. So I went home and I Googled Magnus Rex, and sure enough, it comes up. And they said, that's really Dark Knight Rises.
They were using a code word. So why did they do that? Just to kind of throw people off so the media doesn't get a hold of it and go bananas?
Yeah, it's funny. We had to be so secret about it. We didn't even get to read the script. We didn't, you know.
Well, that's the nature of Batman. You know, he sneaks up on you.
Secret.
You don't see him coming.
I know.
That's why
it's
he's
so
very
funny.
Successful, I hear. I don't
know. But on the other hand, they're filming right in downtown Pittsburgh where everyone could take pictures.
There's a giant Batmobile. Like,
yeah, so.
Like, oh, no, nothing to see here.
So it was really bizarre, but we're like, whatever, you know, but the excitement that it generated. We did an open call for extras, and over two weekends, that's it, Saturday, Sunday, two weekends, 2,500 people a day.
Wow.
Showed up a day. Usually you get the tops in a day, 750. But that many a day. So 10,000 people signed up for the film.
Wow.
We used a little over 3,000, mostly men. So all these women coming in, I'm thinking, no way you're gonna get in the film. But some of them did. And it created such excitement. Oh my goodness,
it
do you
did.
Remember? It was, you know, I had TV station people with cameras, reporters outside here lined up to talk to us about it. When we were finally allowed to talk about it.
I'll bet.
And it was just amazing. Radio station, every radio station in Pittsburgh, you know, calling us for information on this. And people came from all over the place to be in it.
Oh, yeah. I remember talking to people that had driven, you know, from states away and things. Because there are people that do extra work for a living. Just go from movie to movie, and that's what they do. There's a lot of traveling involved. But,
right. Wow. But, you know, here in Pittsburgh, we pay non-union. Mm-hmm. Extras, so they only make minimum wage. Other places, they make enough money that they probably could do it for a living. But
to be in a Batman film, it's worth it.
And what about all the people that showed up at the stadium?
Yeah.
There were like, 10,000 or something?
In the stadium shot, yeah.
And I've never seen anything like that. I've seen people show up, but then they leave, but they stayed.
It was just like
they
a Steelers stayed. Game.
It was unbelievable.
It was a great scene. I love watching the movie now and just seeing Pittsburgh. It throws me a little bit.
It does.
But Pittsburgh looks great on film. It does. I think maybe that's why it's getting so popular now, because you see, you know, you get the helicopter shot coming in. You've got the rivers. It's very picturesque.
It is.
And I mean, now Pittsburgh's getting a lot of press out there. There's these articles that are saying it's one of the most livable cities in America, which
right.
I absolutely agree.
I know.
But if you hadn't been to Pittsburgh or been familiar with it, you might not recognize it on film like you would recognize the New York skyline or the Chicago skyline.
Yeah.
So I think that it still right now has that ability to be a Gotham City or, you know, a fictional city that's really dynamic with the skyline and the rivers and things.
True.
But I think now the secret's out of how fantastic Pittsburgh is, so everybody's going to be recognizing it.
I know.
But now, do you know, and I know there were 3,000 people involved with The Dark Knight Rises, but do you happen to know that one of them was me?
You? I did know that.
I was a Gotham City police officer. Very appropriately cast.
I
dressed down a little bit.
But I think so.
I want to tell you that being on that film was one of the greatest experiences in my life, because I had been a Batman fan since I was 6 years old. I mean, I had read the comic books all throughout my childhood. Every once in a while, I'll still pick one up, you know. So to be in the cops, one of the biggest cop scenes you might recall was on the steps of Gotham City Hall, which I believe was the Carnegie Institute
Mellon Institute right.
In Oakland.
Right.
And being there within feet of Christian Bale dressed as Batman, to me, that's as real as Batman gets. And that's our modern day mythology. That's big, you know? Now, of course, after the first hour, in 90 degree heat dressed for a winter movie, it started to wear off a little bit.
Yeah,
but
like, okay,
still,
okay.
pretty cool. What an experience. And you know, I've tried to watch the movie and find myself.
There's a lot of fighting, right?
There is. Yeah. There's a lot of fighting. It didn't occur to me until I watched the movie, oh, we're all dressed the same.
Yeah.
You know? But I joke around, I tell people, I say, yeah, I'm in the movie. Look for the cop with the martini and the cigarette. Yeah. That's me, you know? So they're still looking. But great experience.
I remember my first movie was called Criminal Justice. And
the first one that you had cast or that you were in?
First one that I cast, called Criminal Justice. And then right after that, we did a film called Hoffa.
Oh, yeah.
Citizen Kane.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Hoffa, right?
At the same time. They filmed at that exact same spot.
Really?
Mellon Institute.
Hoffa?
Hoffa did. And Citizen Kane was right down the street. We had two holding areas. And some of the people from Citizen Kane ended up in the Hoffa holding area and vice versa because it was the same era. It was so funny because I'm like, oh, you want to go over to the other movie? It was like in Pittsburgh and literally within a block.
Now, tell me about Citizen Kane. I've never heard of this. Is it a ice cream film?
No. It was about Roy Cohn.
Oh, okay.
C-O-H-N.
Oh, yeah, the attorney.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was really great.
You know what's on my mind is ice cream. I'm sorry.
But it was like the same, similar period, so the extras all looked like they were in the same movie, and there were two films on the same street at once.
I never knew Hoffa was shot in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, people are still looking for him. I mean, I never knew he was there. Maybe we should start.
But it was really funny because these extras, I'm like, you're not on my list. I don't know who you are. And they said, I said, oh, I think you're in the other movie. So
the other movie. But what a great position to be in. You're juggling two movies in town. I mean, that's got to get insane, the logistics that go into that. I mean, how much do you get into that, the space and things? I mean, or does the film company handle that?
The movie company handles it. Our job is, the logistics come down to getting all our people to set, where they should park, mm-hmm. what they need to bring with them, things like that. So that's as far, we don't have to do that other stuff. I think locations would be one of the hardest jobs.
Somebody's got to do it.
Really
Not
hard job.
Nancy Moss.
Really hard job.
She gets the talent.
Right.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story from the set of that. You know, we were all in holding over by the Carnegie Museum dressed as cops and thugs or criminals, you know, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, they had those big black SUVs that transported the celebs around, the talent, you know. And there were some off-limits areas that were only accessible by those vehicles, and they were all guarded by police, you know, Pittsburgh's finest.
Right.
And there was one woman driving an SUV, but it wasn't black. She must have had to get a loaner for the day or something, because we were walking from holding up to the Mellon Institute,
mm-hmm.
and we're walking by, and she pulls up to one of the blocked off streets, and the cop is like, no. And she's got her Starbucks, she's got somebody in the back, who knows, she's got her sunglasses on, she rolls down the window, and she says, no, I've got talent. And without skipping a beat, he says, oh yeah, you ought to be in pictures, honey. And shoos her away. I thought it was hysterical.
Oh my God.
It could have been
I've got talent.
It could have been Christian Bale back there, who knows. But I had a ball
like
watching
a cop
that
would know that. That's so funny. Like, he would know what she's talking about.
Right, I've
she
got
said,
talent.
If she said one of the actors, one of the stars.
Right, but she can't do that because you know, then we'd have mobbed the car.
That's funny.
Wow.
Good for him.
Yeah. So and then right after that we had Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise. How was that?
Well, it was a really nice long film with you know, a lot of extras.
Okay. Now, long in the final edit or long it took them a while to film it here?
It took them a long while to film it. So that, you know, we like that because, you know, that's, we get paid by the week. So the longer they're here, the better. And,
the studio heads don't always like that.
But you know, it was really bizarre that it was about a sniper, because then when it came out, it was right after Newtown.
Oh God, yeah.
And Tom Cruise was supposed to come here for the premiere, which is, never happens, you know, that a major star would come here. And you know, they changed everything because of Newtown. And then when I saw the film and saw how it was just the right thing to do.
So I mean that I guess that's a reality of filmmaking, that current things happen that might change, that might cause a last minute edit.
Yeah. And then with Dark Knight, Aurora happened.
That's true, yeah.
Right after Dark Knight came out. So it's a little bizarre, a little close to home. But I remember, you know, when I saw the film and saw the from the parking garage, the sniper across the river. It's really creepy.
Yeah.
It's really creepy. I mean, Pittsburgh is such a safe place, but it made you realize that everybody's sort of vulnerable, you know. But yeah. It was fun having Tom Cruise here and Katie. He was still with Katie in Surrey and, you know.
Did you get to talk to him?
I did not, but Katie did. He's here now, my assistant. She's behind the scenes. She got to meet him.
Oh. I'll talk
She's
to
the
her
Oscars casting director. She knows more about Jack Reacher. I don't know much about it because
I didn't know anything either.
Yeah, she did all the extras.
Is it unusual that the premiere would be held in the city that it was shot? Cause in my mind, I just figure all premieres happen at Grauman's Chinese
really
Theater.
Unusual.
I'm living in 1940s Hollywood.
Really? If it's really unusual, that's why it was such a big thrill. In fact, I was wondering, it was supposed to be at Southside Works, I was wondering how they were going to deal with all the people that would show up.
It's tiny. I can't find parking there on a Tuesday night to go to Cheesecake Factory.
Exactly.
I'm thinking, although I'd love to have joined you for that premiere, I'm like, oh, the traffic, the noise, I'll see it on video.
I know. I was like, I almost was like that too. I was like, do I really want to deal with that? You know, it's just so funny. But I sort of wondered how they were going to handle it.
How did it go?
Well, they never had the actual premiere.
Oh, they didn't happen. I didn't know that.
No, they had a little screening the following Wednesday, and Tom Cruise did come, but he came to each individual theater, like through a side door, spoke for a couple minutes, and then left instead of having a big red carpet and reporters and all that. Paparazzi, we were going to have all that, but they had to cancel that part. But it was really neat when he came into the theater and said hello and thanked everybody. That was very neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be back.
You never know.
I know. So this is fantastic. I really hope that and I'm glad we talked about the tax, because I think a lot of folks outside of the industry don't really realize how important that is to keeping films coming here.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's really ideal, and I've been seeing these articles that it's being called Hollywood of the East. That's incredible. I mean, you guys must be jumping up and down when you hear that.
I know, we are. And, you know, it's ironic because Hollywood is, they have a tax credit that's, they don't have a very big tax credit. It's just a little more than we have. And so they're losing a lot of productions. So they're trying to get theirs, you know, up too. So, but now 44, which I didn't mention before, 44 other states have a tax credit now. It used to be like 6 or 8. So now we're competing against
but
every other state.
But they're not as nice as Pittsburgh.
They are not. But I'll tell you what, they will leave if they can get $100,000 more from someone. They'll just go to another state. Because it's so much money that they don't have to, you know, come up with themselves.
Yeah,
so.
I remember hearing too that, you know, a lot of these old steel mills were being converted into sound stages, or at least space where a film could come in and utilize that for a major indoor space.
Right.
Of course, nobody tells me where these things are. I guess it's all hush-hush, but
right.
I mean, that might be another thing too. Is that true? Are there a lot of big sound stages here now that are converted?
There aren't really, and you know, but you know.
Would that be lucrative if somebody were to do that?
Well, I think it would be really, really expensive to make a soundstage the way that really need to be made to in order to generate nonstop work.
Mm.
And, you know, with people going to another state for, you know, for tax credit money, you know, they're sort of fickle that way. Yeah. Then, you know, it'd be hard to make sure that you had money to sustain a soundstage. So that is a little bit of an issue. But, you know, there's places around like 31st Street Studios and movie called The Fault in Our Stars that's going to be shooting in the fall. They're out at this old lab out in near Monroeville. So they're, you know, they're converting places into sound stages.
So where do you see the future of Pittsburgh as far as its relation to the film industry?
See Pittsburgh in the future?
Mm-hmm.
If we can keep a tax credit,
it always goes back to that. Call the governor, ladies
and gentlemen.
You really
need to have that. And actually, the states that have uncapped it, like New York State, Louisiana, Georgia, they are nonstop working. Like four films at once, TV shows, nonstop. So they're really the Hollywood of wherever, because they never stop. And we do. We do if we don't have the tax credit. So that's very, very, very important. And when we do have the tax credit, we get to keep the crews here. In the last 6 months, a lot of crew members have had to leave.
Yeah, because it's
the state to work elsewhere. So we have to keep that going. And also training is important. I'm really glad that people are getting trained in Carnegie Mellon, Point Park University, Pittsburgh filmmakers and other places in filmmaking and acting, so we can keep, you know, generating you know, crew people and actors.
Yeah, I'd like to see, maybe they both went hand in hand, but although it's becoming a destination to film, it's becoming a destination for film actors too, which I think is incredible.
Great. You know? And everybody learning the trade.
Yeah.
You know, the film trade, like grips and electrics and carpenters.
Yeah.
And
how did you get started in this business?
Well, it's a long story. But I grew up with a really theatrical family in central Pennsylvania. My mother always wanted to be an actress. Her father said that that wasn't a nice, you know, nice girls didn't do that. So, and you know, my father was a musician and he loved the theater too. So I was always hanging around them and they were always in shows or producing shows or directing shows or choreographing shows. So even when I was quite small, I literally remember doing my homework while watching my mom, like in Gypsy or something like that.
Wow.
And then I majored in theater at Penn State, but I realized pretty quickly that I wasn't passionate enough to devote my entire life to acting, which I really do think you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I switched to TV production, television production, which I really loved. And worked at Channel 11 Pittsburgh, my first job. Worked for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood after that.
Really? So you knew Fred Rogers?
Yeah. In fact, one of my jobs was to drive him swimming every day at lunchtime. He went to the PAA Club swimming in Oakland. And the first time I drove him, I went flying by the PAA Club. I was so nervous because I had Mr. Rogers in the car that I went flying by and he goes, Nancy? I think we passed it.
The trolley needs to stop here.
Mr. Rogers. And then he said, I'll never forget, he said, don't worry, we'll just go around in a circle. So we went around the Cathedral of Learning in a circle. Oh. We came back and I dropped him off.
Was he really as nice as his character
on the
show?
He was really, really nice.
I hear that all the time.
But one thing people don't realize is that he was really funny too. So he really got to be funny when he had the puppets on.
Oh, yeah.
And in between takes, he was very funny.
Wow.
And quite bawdy, actually.
Oh.
Quite bawdy.
But we never saw any of that on
film. No, we never saw
any of
that
kids.
On film. But, you know, it was pretty funny. You can imagine if you got to hear Mr. Rogers saying things. Like Lady Elaine would be really, nasty things.
She frightened me when I was a child.
She's
was she modeled after somebody? Because she has such a distinct look.
I don't know. She scared me, too. And I was 23 years old.
Rod Stewart is what she's been compared to. Looks like a little Rod Stewart, you know. But yeah, she was a little, she was a little scary. But
so that was a really amazing experience. And they only produce 15 shows a year, which people, I don't think, realize that, you know, that's not very many.
You know, well,
like
you know,
five
when we were kids watching
months.
It, you know, you know, a week goes by, it's new to us.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. And then they had reruns and reruns. But, you know, I'll tell you what, for the rest of my career, I did corporate video, I did commercials, behind the scenes, you know, production. I moved to Boston, I did stuff there. I started a theater company up there.
Wow.
But everywhere I went, Mr. Rogers would show up on my resume. And, oh, you knew Mr. Rogers? What was he like? You know, every time. So it was great.
And
it's
now here
like,
you are on Berg Vivant
it
answering
broke
the same
ice.
Question.
I know, but it's like no matter where I would go, people would always
He's a hard act to follow.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even now, there's nobody like him. I mean, he just was a real class act.
And
when you look at it, I mean, synonymous with Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh's television history.
Right.
I think we kind of forget that. I mean, now we're, you know, everything, the buzz going on with film, but we had a very...
Famous
television history. Yeah. So film and TV have been a big part of this city's culture for a long time.
Yeah. So get back to how do I get started.
Yes.
When I came back from Boston, I moved back to Pennsylvania. I really missed being home. My family was close by and I really missed that. So I came back home. I spread the word in my production community friends that I was looking for work again. And my friend Amy Lamb told me that they were looking for an extras casting person on a film called Criminal Justice for HBO. And I just knew that I'd be really good at it. You know, it's like one of those things like, I can do this. Really, I can do this. So I just convinced the producers that I could do this. And I said, I will devote my life to you, but I really want to do this. And they gave me a chance and I just loved it. And they loved my work. And that was it. I found what I, you know, really wanted to do. And luckily in the 90s, there was a lot of work here. We did TV shows, we did TV movies, like The Jacksons and The Temptations, and Hallmark Hall of Fame, when Joanne Woodward was here, and, you know, Paul Newman, and, you know, I mean, a lot of, Walter Matthau did films here. So there was a lot of work back then, and I just loved it, and I just kept going.
Very good. Yeah. And you are one of the only agencies, maybe the only agency in town, that casts both extras and
speaking
roles. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's big.
We're the only ones, yeah.
Because that could very easily be someone's launch into a very promising film career.
It's true. Like Joe Manganiello was one of our actors back in the day, and mm-hmm. now he's really famous and taking his shirt off in People magazine and
stuff
like
that.
Did
he learn that here in Pittsburgh?
I don't know. But yeah, so people, and like Zachary mm-hmm. Quinto, used to ride his bike from the South Hills to our office downtown to audition for us before he went to Carnegie Mellon and during that time. And you know, now he's very famous and going to Broadway.
Michael Keaton from Pittsburgh, is this true?
He is. His real name's Michael Douglas.
Ah, but that was already taken. I never knew that.
Yeah, and then interesting, yes, he's from Coriopolis, and he was actually here in town for a film. Oh gosh, what was it called? I can't remember. It was just here for a few days, but I forget the name of it. But anyway, yeah, he's from Pittsburgh. And remember him in Night Shift? I don't know if you remember
Vaguely.
That film. Well, I'll never forget because I didn't know who he was at the time, but he just stole the show, and it was all these Pittsburgh expressions that he used. Like he would say, he would use jag off and nuh-uh and get out and all that.
And,
he would just ad lib it, I think.
People watching that who had no idea of Pittsburgh, he was probably like, what is wrong with this man?
I know, exactly. But he was so funny.
We talk about Pittsburghese too. I talk with a lot of folks that are in the performance industry and you know have studied voice and speech. There's no other accent quite like it. And what's interesting about it too is it hasn't really permeated into popular culture outside of Pittsburgh like the Boston accent has, like the New York accent has, like the Midwestern has. You hear that in media and in film and television, but Pittsburgh, it's like it's just isolated to that little triangle and the surrounding areas, but it's very distinct.
It is very distinct. And Out of the Furnace, another film we worked on last year that's coming out in November with Christian Bale, he really worked hard to try to do a Pittsburgh accent.
I cannot wait to hear that. Did he have to be coached in it?
He did. There's acting coach, you know, there's dialect coaches that helped him.
Wow.
And
they,
in between takes, he had a headset on, and people thought he was listening to music, but he was listening to the accent.
Now, see, that it's comical to me because I just picture some very distinguished vocal coach. Christian, the word is yins.
Yes.
Yins. Say, make sure you drop your L's.
I thought it was Don Wadsworth, wasn't it? Was it Don Wadsworth from Carnegie Mellon?
Just the fact
but
that
yes,
somebody
exactly
would have
it.
To make a concentrated effort to speak that way when really it's so easy for some of us. You know?
Like we try, I think, you know, we are trained to try to get rid of it.
Right.
Right? But it's really hard to do in reverse.
So what, I'm hoping I'm going to get to hear Christian Bale say yins. Or yuns.
I don't know. We'll see.
That's how we'll know if that scriptwriter did their homework.
Right.
Yeah. If they have.
But a lot of the people seem to have sort of southern accents, so I don't know. I just in the trailer. You know what I mean? So I don't know. He does it, but I don't know what people are trying to do.
This will be the test of his mettle as an actor.
We'll see.
How he nails Pittsburghese, drops them L's. Hey,
yes.
How you doing?
Oh my
god. And he's
gosh.
British, right? He has a British accent.
Yeah,
right?
So can you imagine trying to do British
god.
And then do American and then add in Pittsburgh? That's going to be weird.
I can't wait. I will be there eating popcorn. Now,
oh, you will be.
Who would play Nancy Mosser in the Nancy Mosser story? Who would you cast?
You know, that's really funny because someone said Ellen.
Ellen Barkin. Oh my god, I see
that.
It.
And then someone else said, which I think is really, I had to go back and look, but Joanne Woodward when she was young.
Oh, yes.
I mean, when she was my age now. But not how she is now, but you know what I mean. When we see the old movies of Paul Newman, the black and white, there is definitely something there.
Hmm.
And I could see what they meant. I don't know if it's jaw or whatever, but Ellen Barkin, some people said too. I don't know.
I
think maybe because our eyes are wide set or something. I don't know.
I was going to say a young Melanie Griffith, but you know, I like the Ellen Barkin better.
No,
I think that's
more
on target.
I wouldn't turn down Melanie Griffith as my person to play me. I would not.
who would play Brian Edward? And you can say somebody old. I'm not going to get offended.
John Hamm. No. No.
I'd take that.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, you do remind me of someone. I'll think of it. You do remind me of someone. I'm trying to think of.
I don't know.
Oh, Sorry, it just went out of my head again.
You're fishing, Nancy.
I'll think of it. Well, you know what? James Garner a little bit.
Really? I never would have thought that in a million years. James Garner. But
maybe
very talented.
Maybe a little.
He has a nice voice. I'll take that.
Somebody else, though. I'll work on it.
Call me. You know, we'll put it in as an addendum. We'll do a little phone interview, and you can just flatter me and tell me all the, you know, all the movies
that
I can be in. Fantastic. So when you're not busy here behind a desk or on the phone with Spielberg or, you know, coaching Christian Bale in Pittsburghese, you know, what do you like to do in Pittsburgh?
Just for fun?
Yeah. Is there such a thing? Surely, yes. you do get out of here every once in a while.
I do. Well, oh my gosh, in the last couple of weeks, all I've done is go to see films. That's why I love to go to the movies always. I like to dance. I like to swim, play tennis. And we were just at Sandcastle. That was fun. I have a 12-year-old, so there's a lot of things involve 12-year-old stuff.
So the fact that you get out to movies and do all this is amazing.
I know. Oh, yeah.
But that's interesting that you know, you'll make a point to go and see films, not necessarily ones that you've worked on or seen in Pittsburgh, but I guess you gain a lot of perspective from that.
I do, and it's a write-off. I can write off the
Oh, well, there you go. All right.
Can you take guests? You know what's really amazing, and I'm so happy, because at first, when I first started doing films, I just fell in love so much even more with movie making and extras casting, which I started in, that all I would do is look at the background when I watched a film. And it sort of took me out of actually watching it as an audience person.
Yeah.
Right? So I was a little nervous, but after a while, I mean, I still do. Like, I can go back and forth. I can be like, oh, Brad Pitt, I don't know about that hair. And that's the woman from The Killing, but World War Z, you know, the zombies, you know. So I can just change, like, back and forth.
It's
back
tough
and forth,
to just, I guess, be a spectator once you've worked in, you know, the industry.
But
to
I
that
still
degree.
Can do it. I mean, I'm out crying and screaming and everything that you do as an audience person.
That's great that you can separate. After having worked in the theater, it's hard for me to relax and go see a show sometimes because I'm thinking so technically about the lighting, the directing, the acting. You know, what would I do if I was up there? All this. That I feel like I'm working.
Right, exactly.
It's hard to relax, but to separate, that's an important thing, and to yet be inspired at the same time, that's beautiful.
I'm lucky that way. Yeah, I'm lucky I can still do that.
Very much so.
A part of my life, my whole life. I remember my parents having me watch the credits.
Huh.
We would stay to the very end. You know, and this is like in the 60s, 56. Does anybody, you know, do that then? And we'd watch the very end. My dad always wanted to guess where the locations were. That's why we watched.
Well, this could have been some early inspiration for the business that you got into,
too. Oh, yeah. So, you know, it was always such a part of my life, films were. But I never thought I'd work on any. I thought I'd have to go to New York or L.A., right?
You're a game changer here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
it's happening here.
And it's nothing we were ever taught when we were growing up. You know, I could be a school teacher or a nurse.
Or you can cast Batman movies in Pittsburgh.
You know, exactly. I mean, so
They didn't have a speaker come in?
No, they did not. This could be a profession. No. So.
Well, you've certainly made it one. And hats off to you. You know, it's. I think Pittsburgh really needs that right now. I think you do a wonderful thing for, you know, not only the film industry here, but everybody that wants to work in films. So.
Well, I love giving actors jobs. That's, you know, what a thrill that
is. And they love having them. They do. I can tell you that with certainty. So thank you so much for chatting with us today.
You've
given a lot of very keen insight to the industry for those that are familiar with it and even those that aren't. So.
My pleasure.
So we'll encourage everyone to get out there and put their resumes and photos on mossercasting.com.
Right.
And they could be in the next superhero film.
That's right.
Very good. Nancy, it has been a pleasure. In closing, once again, thank you to our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Acela Rondo Music Conservatory in Canonsburg, Arcade Comedy Theater, downtown Pittsburgh. Visit them at arcadecomedytheater.com, and Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. This is Brian Edwards saying good night from Berg Vivant. That's a wrap.
Yay!
Oh, that was so much fun.
That was very fun.